so graduate from high school this year, and many of them will not be local come September. And I said, well, I know not all of them are in the service, some of them are downstairs helping out, but I just thought the importance of God's word, the importance of this book to really start life well. And so I've enjoyed this book. It's one of my favorite books in the Bible. He comes off a little bit pessimistic sometimes, but there's a lot of wisdom in the book of Ecclesiastes. And my title today is called Serving God from Youth. And again, what a privilege to start your life young following Jesus Christ, as opposed to living your life for many years, living for yourself and having regrets that come out of that type of lifestyle. And yet God is calling us to obey Him from youth. This church has never had a seniors ministry, other than the fact that we go to a nursing home and help them, but we've always believed that the seniors who are part of our church, they've never believed they're old enough to join a seniors group, and so they all join the other groups. I got a couple of friends from some who are older than I. But yet, whether you're young or young in heart, I think there's much to be learned from these few verses here. So turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 11, and we'll look at verses 9 through to the end of the book. I'll do a reading, and then we'll pick a few verses as themes throughout. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 9, it says, "You who are young, be happy while you are young, and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see, but know that all these things God will bring you into judgment. So then, banish anxiety from your heart and cast off the troubles of your body, for youth and vigor are meaningless. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, 'I find no pleasure in them,' before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark and the clouds return from the rain, when the keepers of the horse tremble and the strong men stoop, when the grinders cease because they are few, and those looking through the windows grow dim, when the doors to the street are closed and the sound of grinding fades, when people rise up at the sound of birds, but all their songs grow faint, when people are afraid of heights and of danger in the streets, when the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags itself along and desire no longer is stirred. Then people go to their eternal home and mourners go about the streets. Remember him before the silver cord is severed and the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring and the wheel broken at the well, and the dust returns to the ground it came from, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Meaningless, meaningless, said the teacher. Everything is meaningless. Not only was the teacher wise, but he also imparted knowledge to the people. He pondered and searched out and set in order many proverbs. The teacher searched to find just the right words, and when he wrote, and what he wrote was upright and true. The words of the wise are like goats. They collected sayings like firmly embedded nails given by one shepherd. Be warned, my son, of anything in addition to them. Of making many books there is no end, and much study wearies the body. Now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil." Amen. Let's pray. Father, we ask that your word would be life and understanding to us, that you would help us to gain new insights into our own lives as we look at the scriptures, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
The way I organize this message is around three lies that I believe that young people often believe, and I don't know if I believed them at some points in my life when I was young, and I think many of us have. And so I'm going to phrase my 3 points in a negative. First of all, faith restricts the heart. Secondly, religion is for the old. And thirdly, God can be fooled. And so let me begin with the first one. I find verse 9 a very interesting verse. If you look at 11 verse 9, it talks about the heart. And before we look at what the Bible says, there's often this idea in our culture that says if you follow your heart, it takes you into dark places or rebellious places. It takes you away from God. That's kind of a general concept that I believe is promoted maybe in Hollywood stories, that type of thing. You follow your heart. Your heart leads you away from your wife to some other woman, or your heart leads you into some kind of place of pleasure. And yet, look at what verse 9 says of 11. It says, "You who are young, be happy while you are young, and let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart." You hear that? Follow the ways of your heart. And whatever your eyes see, but know that all these things God will bring you into judgment. Now that's the little qualifier here. You know, God will judge you for your actions, but really the intention of the Bible is that we follow God and follow and allow God to shape and mold our heart so it takes us into the fullest of lives. A lot of times we have this idea that if we dedicate ourselves to God, if we give our heart to God, and that's almost the question we asked our baptism candidates, have you received Jesus Christ into your heart? That could be another way of phrasing it. You know, when you give your heart to Jesus Christ, then God gives each one of us unique passions and interests, and God, you know, guides us in part through the desires of our heart. A verse I use as a backup, which has been one of my favorite verses since I was a new believer at age 18, was Psalm 37:4 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." To illustrate that, when I left Western Canada, I came to New York City. It took me a day or two to fall in love with New York City. God didn't carry me to New York, to a place that I hated. You know, I've lived in the Canadian Rockies. I was a youth pastor in a place where the hiking was great. The beauty of nature was there. But yet God gave me a heart and an enjoyment of the city. I loved where I lived in the Canadian Rockies, there were no Thai restaurants. There was no diversity of cultures. Everybody kind of looked like me. And so you come to New York and you have a different world. That verse, delight yourself in the Lord and He gives you the desires of your heart. God will lead you to a place where your life will be the best life you can live. God doesn't lead you, you give yourself to God and He's going to send you to some place that you're going to hate. You're going to end up in the dark corner of the world that you just can't stand being. That is not the God of the Bible. And so if you give your heart to God, then He says you can follow the ways of your heart. And that's the great thing for young people. Their life is in front of them. Their choices can lead them to great heights and to great adventures in Christ. And yet, if their heart is dark, if their heart is rebellious against God, they will go in the wrong direction. And by the way, a note for us who are parenting, someone said this, and I believe this to be so true. When we parent, we should be parenting the hearts of our kids, not the obedience. Sometimes parents parent for behavioral conformity. We want our kids to look good. We want our kids to do the right things. But if their heart is right, they will do the right things. And even if some of the behavior may not be right at the moment, we should parent to mold and shape the heart so they have a good heart, a heart that loves God, and a heart that wants to make this world a better place. They're all wrapped in together. So first of all, the first lie is that faith would restrict the heart. But if our heart is given to God, He says, follow your heart. Be passionate. Live life to the full. Second lie is that religion is for the old. Look at 12 verse 1. The first verse of chapter 12. It says, "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come, and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them." And then it goes on to describe different ways that you get old and you get discouraged and you don't enjoy life and you don't have energy and all of that gets what the rest of those verses after that contribute. Follow your Creator from the days of your youth. How many times have we heard that lie? I'll become a Christian when I'm old. But when I want to live life, I want to enjoy life. I believe that as a young teenager. I said, if I'm going to if I'm going to go to church, it means I can't go to these parties. It means I can't have these rebellious things that I want to do. But what happens? The parties lead to addiction. The relationships that you think you can't have because you're a Christian, they lead to all kinds of headaches and problems and emotional troubles down the road. How much better to say we do the right thing, we follow the God of the Bible from the days that we are young. It keeps us from many headaches, it keeps us from many regrets later in life. And can I say, when people are old, they never regret their Christian life. They only regret that they didn't start it sooner. And that's a perspective from those who are older, but yet how many times have young people believed that lie? I want to go out and live. I want to sow my wild oats. I want to experience life. And yet we know that so often that leads to trouble. Another verse worth memorizing is John 10:10. A thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it to the full. The life of following Jesus is the life of getting the most out of life and experiencing what God has in store for us, not being restricted and saying, I can't do this, I can't do that. Yes, there is a creator, and yes, we do answer for our behavior, but how much better to live from the time that we are young. As I look at our young people, and statistics say that 80% of adult Christians came to faith when they were children or young teens. The older you get, the harder it is to change. And yet so many people say, well, when I get older, I will believe or I'll change. It's just harder to do the older you get. But I look at our young people and I say, you know, the world is in front of them. How much better to serve Christ from youth? How much better to not have to go through that, you know, the pain of life, the pain of living in rebellion against God. And I don't need to spell out all of the ways that life goes wrong. Many of us have experienced some of them ourselves. So, first of all, faith restricts the heart. No, faith enhances the heart. Secondly, religion is for the old. Now, the writer of Ecclesiastes, Solomon, said, serve your Creator from the days of your youth. And finally, God can be fooled. Look at verses, the conclusion of the matter in verses 13 and 14, the last two verses of the book. And this is after Solomon has reflected on many aspects of life. He says, now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep His commands, for this is the duty of all mankind. For God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. I've met people before who try to pretend that they're really good when they meet the pastor. I don't know if you you know people like that. I know people who, I tell the story, I used to have a mechanic that for about 5 minutes he'd try not to curse when I came into my car. And he'd give up, it was just too hard. He couldn't help himself, and he became a good friend. But and this is me, a minister. What am I? I get to stand up and preach every Sunday. God cannot be fooled. Why do we try to pretend that God won't see what we do? That God won't see our life, He won't see the secrets that even our family doesn't know about. God knows about all of them. And you know what's the most remarkable thing is that God knows all about us. He even knows our thoughts. He knows the kind of things that that are ugly, that never leave our mouth, but they're in our head. God knows all of that, and yet He still loves us. God knows all about who we are, and yet He still cares for us enough that He sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. And that's a remarkable thing about God. He sees all, and yet He loves us. He sees all of what our life is about. And so for us to believe that we can fool God, the best life is to live in fear of God, which is a reverence for God, saying, you know, God is holy and I'm not. He's not. You know, we sang the song, I am a friend of God, and that's a privilege. It's not something to be kicking gradually. He is our Creator. He holds the world in His hand. We are to reverence Him, we are to respect Him, and live in reverence and awe of Him, and also we are to strive towards obedience. God cannot be fooled as we can maybe fool people around us. That is really the Easter message. And as we prepare for the communion table in just a few moments, be reminded that Jesus Christ came. He lived a sinless life. He died on a cross for us that we might have new life in Him. He died to bear the sins of the world on His body on the cross. And His death, the righteous for the unrighteous, the Holy Son of God dying on a cross, that we who put our hope and our trust in Him would experience new life. We would experience new life in Jesus Christ. And He knows us, and the beauty of God is that He wants to see us continue to grow and develop in our faith and to be the best that we can be. The life of faith is the good life. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." Amen? A quotable verse, and maybe the most quoted verse in the Bible. "For God so loved you, God so loved me, that He gave His one and only Son." That is what we remember at the baptism service. That is what we remember at the Lord's table. We come together to remember that God loved us, but that we would not perish, but we'd have eternal life. And you know the good thing, let me just end with this last thought. The good thing about eternal life is it does not start at death. It starts at conversion. The eternal life that is ours in Christ is when we yield our life to Him and we receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. When He comes in to change us from the inside out and to make us new creatures in Christ, as the old King James says. When He changes us, new life begins. Eternal life begins at conversion. It's only enhanced when we die. We experience Him fully. And on this life, as someone once said, even if Christianity is not true, it's still improved my life, and it's made our life much more worth living. But on top of it is true, and Jesus Christ is alive. Amen? Let me pray for us as we prepare for the Lord's table. Our Father, we thank You for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We thank You for the privilege of coming to You on this Lord's Day. Again, we thank You for the cross. We thank You for the resurrection. We thank You for the work of Jesus Christ on our behalf, that because He died, because He rose again, we might have new life. We might have eternal life that begins in this life and goes on beyond the grave. Father, if there's anyone here who says, "I've been touched by the testimonies, I've been touched by the good news of the hope of the gospel," I pray that today would be a day of bowing our knees before Jesus Christ. And maybe as every head is bowed and eyes are closed, if you're in that situation, you say, "I want to say yes to Jesus Christ today. I want to truly be born again and born anew through Jesus Christ. And I have not been living for Him. I have not been following Him till now." If that's your situation, if you just raise your hand, my eyes are open and I'll see it. And if you want to say yes to Jesus Christ today, I'd like to say a special prayer for you as well. If that's your situation, maybe raise your hand now and I'd like to pray for you. Amen. Yes. Our Father, we thank You that You are God who works in our hearts. Lord, continue to build up the faith of each one of us and guide us in our journeys of faith, that we would truly follow Jesus Christ with our whole heart. Lord, You see the hands and You know all of the reasons why. Continue to solidify Yourself in their lives. Continue to build each one of us up in Jesus Christ. And we thank You and we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.